This is Daisy Yuhas reading pages 56 through 58 of Sandro Cisneros' Caramelo. "What a silly you are, Private Lala. No need to cry because of a plate of mole. Come now, niña." But the grandmother said, "Never mind what she said. Do you think she's the boss around here? Watch what I'm going to do. Oralia."
"Si, señor."
"Give this the neighbor's dog. And if my wife asks, say the child ate it."
"Si, señor."
"You see how easy that was?" "But it's a lie." "Not a lie, a healthy lie, which sometimes we have to tell so that there won't be trouble." "There, there, stop crying. Would you like to watch television with me in my room?"
"You would."
"Well, then, first you have to stop crying."
"I can't have you crying all over my room, that's for sure.
Put on your shoes. That's a good girl." The little grandfather grunts as he walks like a Pekingese. "Don't tell the others, because they'll get jealous. But you're my favorite," the grandfather says, winking.
"Really?"
"Truly, eres mi cielo. You're my sky," the little grandfather says, showing off his English. "Did you know I used to live in Chicago once? A long time ago, before you were even born. When I was a young man, I lived with my Uncle Old in Chicago." "I bet you don't know the capital of Illinois."
"What's the capital of Illinois?"
"What's the capital of California?"
"What's the capital of Alaska?"
"Don't they teach you anything in school?"
"I don't go to school yet."
"That's no excuse. Why, when I was your age, I knew the names of all the states in the Republic and their capitals, as well as the capitals of all..." "What are you looking at?"
"Abuelito, how did you get your hair get like fur?"
The little grandfather laughs like the letter K, exactly the way father laughs. "It used to be like yours for many years. Then when I retired, it started growing white. I dyed it at first. I was very vain once. Then one day, I just let it go, just like that, and it went from shoe polish black to white, white, white in a matter of days, like the snowy peaks of the twin volcanoes. Popocatépetl ni Iztaccíhuatl," he says, laughing. "Do you know the story of the twin volcanoes?"
"You don't."
"Nobody tells me anything. They say I talk too much and can't keep a secret. That's why they say they can't tell me things."
"Is that right?
Well, let me tell you. Iztan Popo. Iztan Popo," the grandfather says, adjusting his cigar and looking up at the ceiling. "A Mexican love story." He clears his throat. He puts his cigar down and then picks it back up. He scratches his head. "Once, under the sky and on the earth, there was a prince and a princess. The prince's name was Popocatépetl." You can imagine how difficult it was for his mother to shout, "Popocatépetl, Popocatépetl!" So she called him Popo for short. There is a pause. The grandfather stares at a spot in the rug. "Now, the princess's name was Iztaccíhuatl, and she was in love with this Prince Popo. But because the families of Iztan and Popo hated each other, they had to keep their love a secret. But then something happened. I forget what, except I know he killed her. And then as he watched her die, he was so overcome with her beauty, he knelt down and wept. And then they both turned into volcanoes. And there they are," the grandfather says, raising the Venetian blinds and pointing to the volcanoes in the distance. "See? One lying down and one hunched over watching her. There, that's how you know it's true."
"But if he loved her so much, abuelito, why did he kill her?"
"Well, I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I suppose that's how Mexicans love, I suppose."
"Abuelito, what's in there?"
"Where? In there, inside that."
"El ropero."
"Oh, lots of things, lots. Would you like to see?" The grandfather walks over to the walnut wood armoire, runs his hand along the top, and brings down a small key with a faded pink tassel at the end. This he turns twice, and the tumblers give their familiar click. Then the door opens with a sigh that smells of things old, like a shirt ironed till it's brown. In one drawer, the little grandfather shows me his cadet uniform, and in another, a red bundle. "This handkerchief used to belong to my mother. During the revolution, she made a promise to the Virgin Tita to keep me safe. They had to saw 3 ribs out of me, and here are the 3 ribs," he says, undoing the cloth and placing them in my hand. They're as light as old wood, and yellowed like dog teeth. "Grandfather, is it true you lost them in a terrible battle?"
"Oh, yes. Terrible, terrible.
But don't you miss your 3 ribs?"
"Well, not very."
He picks up an old sepia photo of himself. Seated on a cane bench, a young man with the surprised eyes of someone who knows nothing of the world. The person he's leaning on has been cut out of the picture. "You can get used to anything, I've learned," he adds, looking at the photograph and sighing. "Well, almost." "And what's this?" I say, tugging an embroidered pillowcase. "This," the grandfather says, pulling out of the pillowcase a cloth of caramel, licorice, and vanilla stripes. "This was your grandmother's rebozo when she was a girl. That's the only recuerdo she has from those times, when she was little. It's a caramelo rebozo. That's what they call them."
"Why?"
"Well, I don't know. I suppose because it looks like candy, don't you think?" I nod, and in that instant, I can't think of anything I want more than this cloth, the golden color of burnt milk candy.